Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
By the way, before we get to your story, Dana, Aerosmith, by the way, is your artist of the day. Did you see the emails we got from the esteemed Professor Emeritus Max Huessler?
I did not.
He just wrote, I read in the Chronicle of Higher Education, he didn't say this was off the record, so I'm assuming it's on. He says, I read in the Chronicle of Higher Education a number of colleges are looking to start the fall semester 1 week early, canceling fall break, and then ending the semester before Thanksgiving.
Okay. So just, you know, dip your toe in the water, get them back a little early, wait and see if there's a crush of cases during flu season.
Or hoping that because of the warmer weather, that there won't be as many cases, and then getting them out before Thanksgiving break.
Yeah maybe, maybe.
Now, what do you got?
Oh, listen to this. I sent this to you actually on Friday, and I'd forgotten about it, and it's so good. Story here, is your boss watching you? It is possible, according to a private investigator. Quoting here from Dorian Bond, a PI, calls started coming in from corporations saying, we need you to watch an executive for us or somebody else. They're supposed to be working from home, and we can't get a hold of them. With millions of Americans working from home, some corporations are taking extra steps to ensure employees aren't playing hooky from work. Companies are turning to owner of Phoenix-based Bond Investigation to keep tabs on employees they suspect are skipping out of their daily duties. If I get the call, usually the company's pretty sure it's happening. They just need documentation evidence so that when they decide to fire the person, they have proof. And he says they have busted employees doing a number of non-working related activities, including golfing and boating.
Mm.
A shift to teleworking has since sparked in demand for software that can supervise you while you work from this. The software can come in many forms, like an attention tracking feature on Zoom that will alert the host when an attendee has clicked away for over 30 seconds.
30 seconds?
Come on.
What if I have to go take a poop?
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry that I don't want you to hear me take a poop.
Listen to Jane, a contract worker for a firm in Australia. My manager knows every single damn thing I do. I barely get to stand up and stretch as opposed to when I'm physically in the office. It makes you feel like you constantly have to be in front of that computer screen because if not, either the team viewer logs me out for being idle or my manager randomly sends a check-in email that I must reply promptly.
Okay.
I mean, I think that's ridiculous, Scott.
Well, I do too. I do too. But I've actually heard, and all I'm asking is that people call in and they be honest. I've heard from a number of our sales people that work at the radio station, I'm actually working harder now than I did before. Now, I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's true. I'll be honest. Doing the show remotely from my living room, and I've told this to Kelly, is like doing a remote show every day. Like we're at, you know, Windy City Pub or 54th Street Grill and Bar or whatever. And those shows are the funnest, but they're also the hardest because you're always on. And I'm not asking for any sympathy. I'm not. I'm lucky to have a job. B, I'm lucky that I only have to work 4 hours a day. I get it. Okay? So don't anybody go crying Argentina for me. But what I'm saying is doing the show with you in studio is not hard. Doing the show with you remotely is exhausting. And it's not your fault.
And it has not gotten any less so over 9 weeks. I kept thinking after a while, oh, we'll get used to it. No, it's still, no. And I do think I work more and harder from home because your computer is always there. There's something about the physical break from the office when you get in your car and you leave a location that stuff's now in your rearview mirror. Well, when all of this stuff is up at home, it's just always there. So I find myself going online and doing extra stuff. And on the weekend, Scott, I figured out very quickly, I have got to physically shove all of this stuff into a cabinet because I don't want to look at it. I don't want to look at it. I don't want to walk by it. I put it all away.
Yeah, and Dan, I've heard people from the office say, I'm working harder now that I'm at home than I ever did in the office. Now, you guys get to tell us if that's true. I find that a little bit hard to believe.
And why would your boss spy on you? Because, first of all, you have to have a horrible boss. You have to have a horrible boss if that's happening.
Yeah.
But second of all, do you really have to work every second of every minute for 8 hours to get your job done? Or can you squeeze all of that work in from home, maybe in 5 hours during the day and maybe an hour after dinner at night? You know, does your boss care how you get your time in? Or are you still expected to work 8 to 5 sitting hunched over your kitchen counter?
Telephone number here is 576-7798. The text line, of course, is 22980. Don't forget the mayor of Kansas City, Quentin Lucas, is going to be joining us at 5:45 this afternoon. So we've been told. We're assuming that that's still the schedule this afternoon. But we're curious. You know, I've had a lot of people say to me that I work with, people in the sales department and in other departments, I'm working more now than I ever did before. And I wonder if this isn't going to change the way that we all work. You know, Dana, you were talking last week about the brick and mortar. What's the point in even having the second floor at our office? Which is, by the way, for those of you who don't know, and most of you don't, that's the sales department. What's the point in even keeping the second floor open? Why not just rent it out? Because that's where they all work. And they seem to be doing just fine. Why not just say, you know what? We don't need you to come back. Not that we don't want you to be employed. We want you to be employed.
And Scott, is it really easier to play hooky from home when a lot of people were scrolling Facebook at work? Do you know what I mean? Just because you were physically in your building for 8 hours does not necessarily
mean
you were working 8 hours. Right. You were just there and the boss could see that you were there.
Mm-hmm. Or in the sales department, they didn't want to see you there. They wanted you to be out of the building. If you were out of the building, you might be making a sale. And, you know, I understand there are certain industries where, you know, you need to be there on site. Car salesman or woman. You know, if you work at, say, Kohl's, for example, you need to be in the building. You can't farm out work at Kohl's. You can't farm out work at Frank Ancona, Honda. You have to be there to make the sale. I get that. But when you're selling air, which is what a lot of the people in our building do, the best place for you to be is not in the building. Well, guess what? Now you're not in the building. And why would they want you back in the building? I mean, you're literally where they want you to be, out of the building. Telephone number here is 576-7798. 576-7798. The mayor of Kansas City, Missouri, Quentin Lucas, will be joining us at 5:45 this afternoon here on KMBZ.
Every breath you take.
I don't care.
You little liar.
You're on the air now.
I know I'm on the air. I can't take it anymore. I booked a hair appointment for Saturday. I can't take it anymore.
You broke. You finally broke.
I knew he would buy his way out of the debt.
I am not the master of my own domain. I'm out. I am out.
$50
a day? I knew you would lose that bet.
I will give you $50. That's fine. I don't care. I've got to get this haircut. I can't take it anymore.
Scott, we were talking about hiring private investigators to check up on their employees who may or may not be working. And I know we have a full board, but I also want to ask our listeners, have you ever been busted not working at work?
And
I'd love to hear those stories.
All right. Let's go to the phone, Sam, if you would, please. I've lost this bet. Go to the phones.
It's going to be a nice $50.
Shut up.
Mike in Lenexa.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
We're doing well, I guess.
Well, I've been working for myself at home for 12 years, and it is harder to work under this because everybody else is home now.
Wait. Why is it harder for you to work at home now that everybody else is working from home?
Well, I'm down in my basement, and I hear, you know, hey, the cable's out, or hey, I can't get Netflix to work.
Yeah.
Could you come fix it?
I think you have to be very disciplined to work from home and to do it well.
Yeah, and it's 24 hours, like you said, when you wake up. Yeah, it's there next to you, so it's hard to avoid even on weekends.
Mike, do you think you would work less if you were in an office?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I do.
Why?
Just more conversations with people. You know,
there's okay.
More distractions, I guess.
But that's what's fun about work.
Mm. Ooh, interesting point, Dana Wright.
What was that?
She said that's what's fun about work.
Well, that is true. If you get me out at a coffee, you know, to talk business, I'll be there for hours.
All right, partner. Hey, good to hear from you, man. Sam, send us to the next one, winner.
Diana in Overland Park.
Diana, good afternoon, and welcome to Dana and Parks. Good to have you with us.
Thanks. I love listening to you guys. I've actually worked at home since 1989 as a freelance writer, but I do miss people, so that's why I listen to you guys. But the reason I called in, my daughter's best friend works for a small marketing company in KCMO, and they have already announced that people will be permanently working from home because they're letting their lease run out next month. And they're going to rent a smaller space where they can have meetings. But, I mean, they're copywriters and things like that. I don't really know much about the company. But they will be at home forever and ever.
So wait. So they're letting go of the brick and mortar mortgage or rent or whatever you want to call
rent.
It.
It's rent. Yeah, don't invest in brick and mortar office buildings.
Oh, don't say that.
Or office furniture. Think about all the crap that people buy to put in the office, like copy machines. That cost would go away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so they're getting rid of the monthly rent, and they're just going to have the copywriters work from home?
Yeah, they are looking for a smaller space so that they can come in, have meetings, but... Yes, everyone will be working from home.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've done it since 1989, and most of the time I like working at home.
Do you think you work harder at home, or would you work harder in an office?
I worked my butt off when I was in an office,
So you're saying you work less at home?
Probably, but you know, this is awful. I'm so old. I haven't worked in an office. I mean, the last time I worked in an office was before the internet, and Facebook and social media are my distractions. And when I get stuck writing a story, I have to go see what everybody's doing on Facebook or check my email. I mean, I didn't have email at my last job. We didn't have email. That's how old I am and how long it's been.
Okay.
Scary.
Well, yeah. Don't take this the wrong way, but you're old.
I don't think she's that old. I didn't have email at WIBW when I first started after college. We didn't have email.
You also started at WIBW when you were 20, Dana.
Well, I'm just saying. We didn't have email. Are you calling me old?
I'm not calling you young.
Okay, let's go to Elaine in Blue Springs. Hello, Elaine.
Hi, Elaine.
Hi. Hey, the thing that scares me to death about 30 seconds or 30 minutes or 3 days or whatever you're supposed to turn your supervisor in because they haven't been online that time period.
Yeah.
I wonder if we've become China. I mean, you know, the mayors kind of said social media will call out the bars and the people that don't do the right things. Are we becoming those people that are supposed to turn ourselves in or turn our friends in, our neighbors in, our enemies in, whoever? It scares me to death what we have then become.
Yeah, at the point that your boss is dispatching someone to spy on you to make sure you are working from home when you are home through no fault of your own, we've become something I don't want to be.
And we have become that. And I think it started with phase one when the mayor said, well, we'll rely on social media to know that the bars are doing what they're supposed to be doing, that the establishments are doing what they're supposed to be doing. We're so much better than this.
Although, it's Diane, is that correct?
Elaine,
sorry, I beg your pardon. There would be, though, you would agree, a difference between a business doing it, which I don't support, by the way. I want to be clear. There's a difference between a business doing it and the government doing it. And in this scenario, you have the businesses checking on you and your productivity and whether or not you're actually working or if you're out golfing, Walter Marks. This is not the government. And so,
but 2 weeks ago, didn't we do that with our mayor saying social media will let us know if people are doing things? There were governors who said that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there were some cases where a health department person either called or went out and said, hey, you know, you're not really supposed to be operating in this manner. There were.
It's a good point. Telephone number here is 576-7798. We will address that with the mayor when he joins us in 15 minutes. 576-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. I am Scott Parks on KMBZ.
Is the top of your hair? I need you to measure it.
Okay.
Me or
him? Is it four inches?
Mine?
Yeah.
More than that.
Mine's definitely.
I can get it down to my lip.
I just tweeted a photo of Sam's. I don't even know what to call it. I haven't seen you without your hat on because you always wear a hat.
Take it off, tall. Sam.
It's tall. It's very, very tall. And Sam, you're saying now you're going to go get a haircut tomorrow, but let me tell you something.
Wait. That's breaking news.
No, the breaking news is
that you are going to go first.
Yes. The bet
I'm
was
going
whoever
Saturday.
Caves and schedules the appointment first.
No, it was whoever got their haircut first. Are you getting your haircut tomorrow?
Oh, well, then I'll wait. I'll wait in a week. I don't care.
He'll wait
that's
until
fine.
Sunday.
$50, man.
He is going to wait, and let me tell you why. There is a photo on the Kansas City Star website today of the crowds lining up on the first day that these places are now allowed to reopen. There is a line wrapped around at like a Great Clips to get a haircut. And they interviewed this woman and she said she was waiting an hour on Monday in Shawnee, and then was told it will be at least another hour before she could go inside.
If
you think you're just going to show up and get a haircut, get in line.
So, Sam, you were supposed to get your haircut tomorrow?
No. My plan was to call my barbershop tomorrow morning the minute they open, because I want this afro gone. But you tell me now that I have to wait, so I'm waiting.
They'll be booked out, Sam, 2 weeks. There's no way you're getting a haircut tomorrow. I hate to like be the bearer of bad news here.
Well, now I'm sad.
I literally just canceled my hair appointment.
What?
I'm going to cancel my hair appointment.
Why?
Because I will not lose.
Okay, we're back in it.
Oh, good Lord. Who cares? Just go get a haircut.
He was getting ready to break. Sam was getting ready to break.
And now I'm putting my hat back on.
Keep hair appointment. Keep hair appointment. Don't keep hair appointment. Keep hair appointment. Don't keep hair appointment. Okay. All right. A couple of sports-related stories. You know, NASCAR came back yesterday.
Uh-huh.
That was weird. Did you watch it?
No.
Because you don't like competitive sports, I get that.
I guarantee you my husband watched it. He's a super fan.
It was awesome. NFL teams can begin reopening their facilities on Tuesday, which is tomorrow, if state and local governments will allow it. In a memo sent to the 32 teams on Friday by Commissioner Roger Goodell and obtained by the Associated Press, he stressed that the clubs must be, quote, in compliance with any additional public health requirements in their jurisdiction. Facilities have been closed since late March due to coronavirus. Each team is required to submit a plan to the league for reopening their training and practice facility if they want to open up this week. Okay, now let's go to the game we really care about, Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball is telling players their prorated salaries would contribute to an average loss of $640,000 for each game over an 82-game season in empty ballparks, painting a picture of a $10 billion industry shuttered by the contagion. The 12-page document entitled Economics of Playing Without Fans in Attendance, that was the name of the paper, and dated May 12th, was an initial step in negotiations aimed at starting the delayed season around the 4th of July.
Okay, but wait. So tell me again, how many millions?
Painting a picture of a $10 billion industry shuttered. Okay, so Major League Baseball makes $10 billion per year. They're saying Major League Baseball telling their players the prorated salaries would contribute to an average loss of $640,000 for each game over an 82-game season. So we're going to pay you, okay?
Yeah.
And we're going to play in front of an empty stadium. It is going to cost us a loss of $640,000 per game.
Because of ticket costs, soda costs, beer, you know, snacks.
Salaries,
but that would work in their favor if they're not paying, you know, the hot dog.
No, the teams are saying this. The teams are saying we're going to lose $640,000 a game. If we have to pay you, and we will, but if we have to pay you and we're not making any money off parking and ticket sales and hot dog sales, we're going to pay you. We're going to lose $640,000 a game.
Huh.
That's the way I read it. Average loss of $640,000 per game. because of an empty ballpark. The New York Yankees alone would have $312 million in local losses when calculating their earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation. New York's figure includes about $100 million in payments toward the bonds that finance the new Yankee Stadium.
Okay, wait a minute. The money they're really out, Scott, is not what you and I are thinking it is. It's for things like big-time media contracts. It says teams fear a second wave would devastate finances. MLB said in 2019, their revenue was 39% local gate and other in-park sources. Okay, that's 39%. Followed by 25% central revenue, 22% media, 11% sponsorship, and 4% other. So listen to this. $370 million is paid by Fox, $310 million by Turner, $27 million by ESPN, and $30 million by the MLB Network, as well as $50 million from international and other. The majority of that money is coming from media contracts.
Yep. But why would they lose the media contracts if...
I don't know that they would, because the Turner Broadcasting wants to air those games, yeah, even with fake fans piped in and fake noise.
Yeah. I mean, like I said earlier tonight, or earlier today, the NBA on ESPN gets about a million average fans per game, right?
Okay.
The Jordan Show is averaging 6.5 million viewers a night. People want live sports. And if they can't get live sports, they want 25-year-old sports. They want to see something.
Well, you saw Evander Holyfield's talking about fighting Mike Tyson again. They do it for charity. I would tune into that.
Oh. All right. The mayor has joined us, so we'll go to break now. 576-7798. The mayor of Kansas City, Missouri, Quentin Lucas, will join us on the other side here on Dana and Parks. 576-7798. Mayor Quentin Lucas joins us in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world. Closing time. Turn all of the lights on over every boy and every girl.
Hey, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Closing time.
Also good to have the mayor of Kansas City, Missouri, Quentin Lucas, joining us on the hotline. Mr. Mayor, good afternoon. Welcome, and thanks for joining us again.
It is great to be back with you guys.
Hey, Danny, go ahead.
Go ahead. How's the reopening going?
You know, I think it's going pretty well. I have seen folks largely being responsible. I know every now and then people try to talk about who's doing wrong, but, you know, you see a lot of people that are still respecting, I think, social distancing, a lot of the rules we need. And we always said it's going to, you know, at a certain point, get down to people that are listening to those, caring about others. And I think most in our region are doing that.
Do you wear a mask when you're in public?
You know, I wear a mask when I particularly go into places and that sort of thing. I will admit that if I'm alone in a park or walking or something like that, then I do not.
Okay. Why is it that Wyandotte County is number one? Leavenworth County, I saw this on the news this morning. Leavenworth County is number two, and Kansas City, Missouri is number three.
You know, I think there was an early outbreak in Wyandotte County, and in some ways with the contagious nature of this, it's been very hard for them to really drop those numbers. I look at the numbers each day and see the issue with that, and I know that Mayor Alvey, all those folks, are working hard to address that. Now, Leavenworth County certainly relates to the prison and the fact that, what do they have, 761 cases up there, which is a... Yeah. Significant challenge, but and in Kansas City, Missouri, I mean, we are a big place, and we certainly, we're not only a geographically big place, a population-wise one, a lot of people come through, and so, you know, frankly, I've been heartened by the fact that we do not have that many fatalities, that we don't have at least an explosion in infections, and I hope we keep it that way.
How closely, Mayor, are you monitoring what's happening in Texas, what I believe will happen in Wisconsin? We saw today that Texas saw a big spike in coronavirus cases 2 or 3 weeks or something like that after their businesses began to reopen. How are you monitoring that, and what do you foresee happening in Kansas City with our reopening?
You know, I would hope, and I know folks are having concerns either with orders that I've issued or the fact that Governor Kelly had a phase 1.5 over in Kansas. I mean, there's the reason that we're doing all of this kind of slow effort, which is that we want to make sure we don't see that sort of spike. So I think you're seeing in the reopening phase where there are jurisdictions that are being smart about it, that are saying we're going to take our time. You are actually seeing at least reopening that's been done responsibly. Where there are not those types of rules, I think you're seeing more concerns. And I don't give credit to them often, but the state of Georgia is one example of a place that actually had a heck of a lot of rules when they were doing reopening. And that, I think, has helped them as compared to a place like Texas.
What has reopened?
In Kansas City, Missouri, most everything has actually reopened. I mean, I think we're subject to at least the 10% capacity rule of the 10 persons, but, you know, we kind of took more of an approach to say that, we're not going to pick and choose businesses. Instead, we're going to try to make sure there aren't big crowds. We're going to try to make sure that people follow social distancing rules. But otherwise, we elected to make just about every business open for Kansas Cityans.
Now, one of the 10, 10, and 10 things is 10 minutes. How do you enforce that, Mr. Mayor? I mean, how do you ensure that somebody gives you their real name, their real phone number?
Yeah. First of all, we elected to make it voluntary. I know that was something that distressed my health director, but this is a recommendation, and I'll tell you a little secret. A lot of the stuff is, and I get these calls all the time, and there are a lot of people in Kansas City, God bless them, who will tell me, well, Mayor Lucas, somebody was having a house party down the way, and they had 12 people instead of 10. I hope you don't. But as you all might have noticed, the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department has a ton of work to do, and it's not breaking up backyard parties in Brookside. And yeah. So what we are really doing is telling, and yeah, we could issue fines and that sort of thing. We really don't, and we don't want to. What we're trying to do is say, look, be responsible. This is to take care of your fellow human being, and that's what the rules are about, not necessarily throwing anybody in jail.
Did I read over the weekend, Mayor, that was it violent crime or homicides that have caused more death in Kansas City than coronavirus,
yeah.
Which is a sad statistic, I think,
it's
homicides.
Right. And it's homicides by a decent number. I think we all have talked about murders in Kansas City as a problem for a while. This year is somewhat astonishing. We're about 20% higher than we were last year. And that was the year where we darn near broke a record. And so, we've got a serious issue. One that, I'm going to talk to a neighborhood meeting right now, actually, about that sort of issue. But it's one that really we can't keep ignoring, kicking the can down the road.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I look at the numbers, and I think you've done the right thing. It's lower than it is across the country. Do you talk to other mayors, by the way?
You know, I do. I talk to certainly Mayor Lida Crewson over in St. Louis a lot. I talk to other mayors in the region, but other kind of mayors nationally. Somebody I have sympathy for, Mike Duggan is the mayor of Detroit, which bigger than Kansas City, but not by as much as you would think. And, they have just been, just inundated with cases and infections and deaths. And I'm proud that, compared to that city, we're in a really good place.
All right. Well, hey, all the best to you, Mr. Mayor. We do appreciate your time, and you always come on, and we do appreciate that more than you know. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you all so much. Stay safe, everybody. Be responsible.
I wish we were doing the Bowling Bash, but I don't think we're going to do that this year.
Next time, although you can still give money to help support the cause. I know Dana and Mark will tell everybody out.
Amen,
yep,
brother. All right.
We're going to get that figured out.
Be well and be safe, okay, my friend?
Hey, thank you all. God bless you.
All right. That is Mayor Quentin Lucas of the city of Kansas City, Missouri. We got to run. Dana, be well in Arizona. It is 4:57 or 3:57 down there?
It's 4 o'clock here, which, by the way, hello, no one told me about the time change. Coming on at noon.
I thought that was going to be a problem. You're just going to wait and see.
I'm like, wait, what time is it?
Dana chimes in halfway through the show.
Well, have fun down there, kid. Be well. And be safe. We got to run. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in all of America, the great Sam Stevie III, ladies and gentlemen. He's right there. My good friend and co-host, Dana Wright. I am Scott Parks, and God willing, we're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe. Be well. Be good.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.